Introducing WonderSuite from Bluehost.com, the tool that makes WordPress wonderful for everyone. Website creation is hard. Was hard, but not anymore, thanks to WonderSuite from Bluehost. Answer a few questions about your business and goals, and the WonderSuite tools will automatically lay out your WordPress website or store in minutes. Seriously. From there, you can customize your design, pick your brand colors, and add blocks. No custom theme or coding required. You'll get content suggestions that you can keep or revise. And with Yoast SEO built in, we automatically help you get found in search engines. From step-by-step guidance to suggested plugins to an AI-powered help bot, our built-in tools make
Discover a healthier, happier you with Veganuary 2024. Your health isn't just small potatoes, it's a big deal. So this January, you are invited to make a change that matters by trying Veganuary's 31-day vegan challenge. Switching to a plant-based diet reduces your carbon footprint and makes a positive impact for animals. Every meal is a vote for the kind of world you want to create. Ready to make a change? Sign up today at veganuary.com. Vote for veggies.
Hey, and welcome back to another episode of The Straight Shooter Recruiter. I'm Emily, a senior recruiter by day and a podcast host by night, or in today's case, a podcast host by afternoon. I'm really lucky and had the day off, so I'm recording in my sweatpants at like 2 o'clock on a Wednesday. Life is good, and I'm super excited for today's episode because you guys know me. I love lots of structure in my podcast episodes, but the couple of times where I get into a topic where I don't need to have a script or I don't need to have a super rigorous schedule to get through, I have a lot of fun. I really enjoy these kind of casual, just chit-chat style podcasts, and you guys really do too. So really excited to get into today's episode. So as I was thinking about what episode I wanted to release this week, I was thinking about doing another kind of career focused episode. And then I realized that I give you guys a lot of career tips, and I get it. That's my job. That's what I do. You know, the whole recruiter thing. But I also realized it's probably difficult sometimes to take advice from someone that you don't actually know a lot about. And especially because this platform has been growing so much over the last couple of months, which I am so freaking grateful for. Thank you to everyone who's a new subscriber, a new follower on Instagram. So excited that you're here. But this is really my long-winded way of saying, I think today's episode should focus on me interviewing me. Really, kind of what my career journey has been, what things I learned along the way, what my job is right now outside of this podcast and Instagram. AKA, I want to give you a little bit of insight into how I know what I know, validate that I promise this is all coming from real industry experience, and also get a little bit vulnerable with you about what some of my challenges were, both when I was in university, in high school, looking for work, currently in my work. So this is kind of an uncomfortable episode for me to put together. It's a lot more personal, I would say, but I hope you guys like it. And if you have any questions, feedback, you know I'm always all ears. Hit me up in the DMs. Come and follow me on Instagram. It's at emily.the.recruiter. And without further ado, is that how you say it? I can't believe I just did that. Let's just get into this episode, y'all. Guys, I'm not gonna lie, I'm kind of nervous to do this episode, and I don't really get nervous for the podcast a lot just because I'm literally alone recording them usually, with the odd time I've had a guest. The only guest I've had has been my father, so I'm usually pretty comfortable, but I'm going to do my best to be very vulnerable with you guys because I get, I kid you not, hundreds of DMs asking, you know, how did you get confident with what you do? How do you overcome this insecurity or worry or anxiety when it comes to your career or coming to school? And I felt really, you know, not genuine by not sharing my own worries and struggles that I had when I was in school or when I was in university or starting my career. And I hope that this is something that's helpful for you. I feel like it's very important to be vulnerable, to build genuine connections. I always preach that. So we're going to practice it today. Okay, so I'm going to start at the beginning. Not all the way at the beginning. Like, we're not going to go over my birthday in detail. Sorry, mom. But I do want to talk about what my personality was like in elementary school, because I do think that that is significant in terms of where my career has gone. And just stay with me, because I promise it'll all make sense. My mom always tells me stories of when I was in, like, let's call it grade 2 or grade 3, and she would literally have to take my homework away from me so that I would go outside and play. I would ask my teachers to stay inside during recess so that I could do more homework. I was obsessed with not just education, but being the best. If I got a 98 on an assignment and I didn't get a 100, I would cry. And it wouldn't be, you know, oh, I'm slightly disappointed, that sucks, I could have done better. It would be like full on blaming myself, like just a smear campaign on myself on how much smarter I could have been and if I studied harder and I should have known the answer to this. And that was my personality, honestly, as early as I can remember. I would, like I said, go, you know, ask for extra assignments and extra projects when I was like 8. Like, what were you asking for? Extra coloring books? I don't understand. So that was my personality from the jump. And then fast forward to end of elementary school, which for me, I was probably 12, 13 or 14. I, you know, had that continued pressure, but then also had the pressure of being a person, being a human. And I think anyone who's gone through those awkward teenage years, it's difficult to kind of find your place and find what makes you comfortable and what makes you happy. And I threw myself into academics so much and really wanted to find my place that I felt would align to what I was looking for. So I ended up deciding to join basically every single club and every council that my elementary school and then later my high school offered. And it wasn't like I just wanted to join to make friends. I joined so I could run that ish. I'm telling you, I was president of everything. I was president of student council, of Luke 418. I was president of president's council. Like, what does that even mean? What does it mean to be the president of the presidents? I still don't understand. So needless to say, it was never a matter of me kind of doing things for fun or doing things for myself. Everything that I did, I felt I had to do in order to get into my dream schools or in order to be, you know, the smartest or the best. I was extremely competitive and then in turn really hard on myself. And I wish I could sit here and tell you that that's gone away and that I've grown out of that, but I haven't. Me sitting here is a testament to me not growing out of that stage of life. I am still very hard on myself and extremely competitive with the work that I do. And in part, I think that's why I have been successful, but that's also why on Friday nights, I'm not with my friends, I'm working. That's why at 11 o'clock on a Tuesday, I'm not on my couch watching, you know, the Queen's Gambit like I should be. I'm recording episodes, I'm researching, I'm working on my marketing. I don't really take rest. So it's a bit of a tangent, but I wanted to kind of give you the context of who Emily is. And also for those of you who don't know, I am Toronto-based, so shout out to my Canadians who are listening. So just so you kind of get a sense of where I'm at as well. Okay, so I guess we're gonna fast forward to the high school era of Emily. If I can find awkward photos, I promise I'll post them on my Instagram because your girl not only had braces, but I'm talking headgear. I'm talking, I was fighting my curly hair by trying to straighten it, but it just, that did not work. It did not look good. So if you need to feel better about yourself, I promise I'll find pictures of like 13-year-old me. But anyway, so if we fast forward to kind of the beginning of my high school career, keeping in mind that I'm this overly competitive, very hard on myself style personality, you know, grade 9 is a bit of a culture shock. It is difficult to adjust to the new style of learning, all of these new people, extra classes. So with that adjustment, I was really looking for, you know, how could I continue to get involved? So like I mentioned, I joined a bunch of clubs, but I think what was the most significant for me was I auditioned for our school play. And the play at my school was run by this amazing teacher. I wonder if she's listening. If you are, hi, thinking of you. But she was an amazing art teacher and there were so many fabulous people. And I just found such a great group of people that I really connected with. And I just fell in love with the arts. So I ended up taking theater all throughout high school. I ended up being a part of the plays every single year. And I felt like I just found my people, like I really connected with them. And my ambitions really quickly shifted. So when I started at the beginning of, you know, the high school times, I really wanted to get into law. I genuinely thought I was going to be a lawyer. I loved academics. I had that competitive nature. It just felt like a really good fit. But then when I found the arts, I realized there was this whole other side of my brain I wasn't using, like this beautiful, deeply empathetic, creative, blow your mind with emotions kind of connection that I was building with all of the people around me and the audiences. And I really loved it. So much to my parents' dismay, and if you listened to my episode with my dad, you already heard about this, but I actually applied and auditioned to be a fine arts major focusing on acting at York University, which is one of the best theater schools in Canada. It's a really, really great program. So when I got, you know, accepted into that program, I I was so happy. I felt like I achieved everything. And it's not that I no longer cared about academics, because trust me, you need to be a smart person to be in the arts. It is not an easy gig. But that competition transferred from needing straight A's in, you know, science and in English to be, I need to be the most immersed in this field. I need to be the best in my craft. I need to be, you know, the next Natalie Portman or whatever I thought needed to happen. So I spent all of my grade 12 year deep in the arts, like neck deep in the arts. And then when I graduated and was leading up to my first day of university, I panicked. I did, I think it was one day of my degree at York for my fine arts degree. And after my first class, I don't know what happened. I left that program and called my dad, and I was crying. And I was like, Dad, I think I'm in the wrong major. I don't know why, but my gut is telling me I'm not supposed to be doing this. And I don't know why, because I was so convinced this is my calling, and evidently it wasn't. So that was a really big adjustment for me, because then I was reevaluating, okay, what do I want to do with my life all over again? And for me, it felt really late because everyone was already in their programs. It was September, school had started. I felt like a mess. So key message from this part is it's okay and it's normal to not know what you want to do. I can't imagine me picking this particular career path for myself at the age of 17. And what happens next is extremely off-brand for Emily Durham, because typically what my type A self would have done, or at least what I would have done today, is research every single program in depth and figure out exactly what I want to do. But that's not actually what happened. I was panicking so much about wanting to pick a major that I said, whatever, I'm going into economics. Yes. You heard that correctly. The girl who was so stressed about her inability to do well in math changed her major to economics. Pardon? Yep, so did that. That happened. I did a year of it, and honestly, shockingly, my grades were really good. I really enjoyed it. I found it extremely interesting, mostly because the first year of school was a lot about theory. And I genuinely found it really interesting, but I knew that that wasn't what I was supposed to be doing. And no shade to anyone who loves the finance space. I also love the finance space, but I just had this creative calling that wasn't getting met in that world. And I needed to figure out, where can I blend this analytical side of my brain with this creative side of my brain? So I basically eeny, meeny, miny mode what program I wanted to switch into next. And it was between human resources and public relations. And literally by the drop of a pin, it was like, whatever, I'll just get into HR. That sounds pretty legit. So I switched my major to HR. So this is major switch number 3. So anyone who thought I've always had my life together, the answer is absolutely no, I did not. And I ended up loving this program. I won't get too in depth about what I studied and what we learned, but I genuinely was so fascinated by what I was doing. I absolutely loved it. Did that competitive nature and that personality trait that kept me up all night studying and learning go away? Absolutely not, but I felt really fulfilled with what I was learning. So I actually really enjoyed it. So fast forward to my third year of university. So it was a 4-year program. My third year, I started looking for internships, and I got an internship at the Bank of Montreal, which is a large Canadian bank for those of you who are outside of the Canadian space. And I was working in one of their HR departments, specifically in something that's called instructional design. And I won't get into that too much, but it's essentially the intersection between graphic design and corporate learning. It's a really interesting space. And I worked with the most amazing people. If anyone from BMO was listening, hi, love you too. I really believe that this internship shaped my career and just gave me so much confidence. I met people who genuinely believed in me, who genuinely saw my talent, who wanted to coach me, wanted to mentor me. They literally walked me through how to be successful and held my hand throughout that entire summer. And for that, I'm always going to be grateful. I still believe that that was the internship that changed my life. And honestly, that was the internship that made me realize I want to be in HR. I don't just like studying it, I like doing it. So halfway through my internship, I started networking really, really rapidly. I was meeting with 2 or 3 different people at the bank a week and essentially just wanted to build a network so that I could find a full-time job after I graduated that next year, so April of the following year. But I ended up meeting with this wonderful woman who worked on their campus recruitment team. And at the time I was like, girl, what's campus recruitment? Like, don't you work from an office? What's a campus? So I met with this wonderful woman from BMO's campus recruitment team. And she basically explained to me, she's like, campus recruitment is recruiting just for students, but it's not just recruiting. There's marketing, there's public speaking. It is this creative and growing industry. And the second I met with her, I was like, oh no, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. Like, forget just plain old HR. I'm supposed to be a campus recruiter. So I connected with her a few times, and it was the last day of my internship, and I got a phone call from her. And she said, listen, Emily, I know this is crazy. I have a full-time job opening up. It starts in September, and I know you still have to go back to school. You're not done your degree, but how would you feel about finishing your degree while you're working with us full time? And me being the crazy person that I am, who just loves to work, was like, yes, I'll do it. Let's figure it out. So I accepted that role, and I started working full time in September while I was finishing up my degree. And thankfully, all of my courses I took at York for my HR program were all online, so I was able to manage that pretty well. But do not be fooled. That was one of the most stressful and intense periods of my life to date. Managing both of those was really, really hard. But my team was really amazing and really, really supportive. So, wow, that was so much of me talking about how I actually started my career. And I'll just zoom through the rest, because the rest you can find on my LinkedIn. But essentially, I did a year in that role. And that role was as a campus recruitment associate. So essentially, that was all of the administrative ends supporting recruiters. So it was like booking interviews. It was, you know, scheduling appointments. It was a very administrative heavy role. And then after that, I was promoted into another position supporting essentially the student experience program. So it was, how do we build and develop student talent while they're interning with us? And then that's when I transitioned into the true recruiter role. That's when I started doing actual student recruitment work. And I was just head over heels. I fell in love with it. And it's so funny because I loved the student experience work so much that I wasn't really sure if I wanted to actually recruit or if I wanted to stay in that space. But my manager, who ended up being my manager for when I was a recruiter, was speaking to me, and she, I'll never forget this. She's like, Emily, I love you. Can you trust me when I tell you that you're supposed to be a recruiter? And I was like, meh, let's do it. Let's try it out. And I'm so grateful to her. Jocelyn, if you're listening, love you too. So I ended up working under Jocelyn for about a year and a bit as a campus recruiter in capital markets. And that was the coolest experience ever. I learned everything about recruitment. That team was brilliant. That team was fun. That team hustled. That team worked hard. So that is my career journey at a glance. And here we are. A year and a half later, I ended up leaving BMO to work at my current employer, which is Intuit. We are the company that is QuickBooks, TurboTax, and Mint. And I loved BMO. Trust me, I left there crying. I loved that company. But the opportunity at Intuit came up, and it was just such a good fit for me. I had the opportunity to build their Canadian student recruitment program. And that was the most exciting freaking experience of my life. The last year in that role was the coolest thing I've ever done. So I'm so grateful for that. And then actually recently I just moved into another position, still in recruitment, but focusing more so on full time. So that's kind of where I'm at right now in terms of what my work is. And then of course, on the side of that, I have a couple of side hustles, so to speak, like who even says that, but I obviously have the podcast. And then my Instagram is something that I've been putting a lot of energy into. I'm looking at starting a YouTube channel. So stay tuned for that. I'm so excited for that. Looking to interview lots of really interesting people on there. So we'll definitely talk more about that once that goes live. And then I also do some consulting. So I'm a bit of a busy beaver. I'm a very busy person because I love what I do. And that's actually why I wanted to open up and be more vulnerable and obviously share my career story, but just kind of be human with you and tell you what my experience in my career has been. So one of the common themes I hope that you took away from what I just shared was I actually did not know what I was wanting to do with my life until I met someone who showed me. So if you are not networking and you don't know what you want to do with your life, and you're like, well, I'm not going to network because I don't know what I want to do, so who am I going to network with? That's the point of networking. You need to make connections and get to know people because there are industries out there you didn't even know that existed. There are people you haven't even met who are going to shape your career in ways you could not imagine. So network. My entire career came to me through the connections that I made, especially at the bank. So that is tip number one. Tip number two is one that I need to take, so I should be looking in the mirror as I say this, but the theme that I kind of shared through my schooling and then also through my actual work experience is that I was super hard on myself. And I actually shouldn't say was. I still am really, really hard on myself. Any mistake that I make at work, I beat myself up for. I genuinely at times am so focused on how I can be the most productive, or how can I build my brand? How can I post better content? How can I be a better recruiter at my 9-to-5 job that I don't take time to rest? I genuinely cannot remember the last Saturday where I just chilled out and saw friends. I'm usually working a full day. And that's something that I personally am going to commit to doing more of, taking more time for me. But if you are in my shoes, if you are a university student, a high school student, a new grad, or well into your career, and you're feeling just overwhelmed by the pressure to be the best or to be the best version of yourself, I don't have great advice for you, because if I did have great advice, I wouldn't be in the exact same position. But what I can tell you is you are not alone, and you are not expected to be perfect, and you are putting the pressure on you, and you deserve to be relieved of that and to be, you know, at peace and to take time to recharge. And, you know, life is not a productivity contest. And I think we need to remember that. And we are human beings, not human doings. And those are all of the Instagram quotes that I can recite. But I definitely wanted to kind of emphasize that portion of things as well. Do you feel like your work from home outfits are a little bit boring? Perhaps need a little bit of accessorizing happening? I am so excited to let you guys know that this week's episode is brought to you by Pilgrim Jewelry. Pilgrim Jewelry is all designed in Denmark and then made by hand in Montreal, Canada, and their pieces are stunning. They're all gold and silver plated, so you know that they're gonna last, and they're gorgeous. They have fun vintage pieces, some classic pieces. I am personally a huge fan of both, but of course, you know me, I love those more vintage pieces to make my outfits pop. I am absolutely obsessed with my items, and you guys should definitely check them out on Instagram and at their website. You can catch them at PILGRIM Jewelry on Instagram and pilgrim.net on the interwebs. Thanks so much, Pilgrim, for sponsoring today's episode, and make sure you go check them out, guys. They're all kinds of fabulous. I get questions a lot in my DMs about how do I become more confident with the work I do, or, you know, you seem so confident, how do you do it? First of all, it's an illusion. I definitely have moments where I am dealing with imposter syndrome, where I'm not believing in myself, but I actually can give a piece of advice on this, because when I first started my career, my imposter syndrome was so bad. Imagine being typically the youngest person in a meeting room, still in university, you don't even have your degree, in meetings with these brilliant people, you know, that I was interacting with at the beginning of my career and throughout my career. I had a really, really intense case of imposter syndrome. But what I really worked hard on is building my confidence. And for me, the way that I did that was I never said no to things that scared me. I'll say that again. I never said no to things that scared me. If I had opportunities to go to meetings with executives, or if I had an opportunity to present at a meeting, and immediately the second someone asked me to do that, I freaked out and was like, oh my gosh, I'm not qualified. I don't know what I'm doing. That is how I knew I had to do it. To prove it to them, yes, but also to prove to myself that I am capable of whatever I put my mind to. So that's a big one. And that's something I take into my career all the time. I mentioned that I just moved roles at Intuit. And honestly, it scared me. I can't lie to you. I have exclusively done student recruitment my entire career. So the thought of moving into something that's a little bit more broad was scary. What if I'm not good at it? What if I'm only good with students? What if my knowledge that I have with students doesn't transfer over into other roles? And that's why I knew I had to take this job, because I need to prove not only, you know, to my wonderful team, but to myself that I can do it. I can do anything that I work hard for and that I believe in myself that I can do. So super cheesy piece of advice, but it's a really important one. The other thing that I get asked about is how do you progress your career and how do you get promoted and move through, you know, those different positions? And honestly, for me personally, I moved roles probably once every year to a year and a half, which is relatively quick in the world of HR. And my advice for that is I put my 100% into every single thing I did. I don't care if it was a small report that I had to pull or a huge presentation I had to give. I put my heart and my soul into the work that I did. Like I said, I never said no to things that scared me. And number three, which I think was the most important, is I just followed what made me happy. And I know this is so cheesy, but stay with me. If I would have continued on the career path that I thought I was going to be on, so staying in the student experience space, which I loved. I did love that space, don't get me wrong. But I was fascinated with recruitment. The people around me saw that I was fascinated with recruitment and they pushed me into it. I followed what made me happy. Leaving the bank, moving to Intuit, I followed what made me happy. Starting this podcast, I followed what made me happy. Even the Instagram, I followed what made me happy. I just am extremely intentional about putting my effort and my energy into things that fulfill me. Not just fill my bank account, but fulfill me as a person. So if you're looking for what major you want to study or trying to figure out what you want to do with your life, I highly encourage you to stop and think about what brings you joy. What do you enjoy doing on the weekends? When you're with your friends, do you enjoy giving advice? Do you enjoy really listening? Do you enjoy, you know, solving puzzles or putting together solutions for difficult problems? All of these little things that bring you joy in life, I promise you, you will find a job that lets you do all of those things. Think about how obscure my career goals were. I loved I loved kind of like analytics and strategic thinking and very kind of black and white trains of thought. But then on this other side of me, I loved the arts and I loved being creative. I literally found a career where I get to do both. I get to be structured and analytical and resourceful, but I also get to be creative and be fun and be myself in recruiting. So if you take anything away from this, it's follow your happiness. Don't stop networking. But please, for the love of God, stop beating yourself up for not being perfect, because there are so many people out there feeling the exact same way as you. Okay, wow, we did it. I'm sweating. My hands are sweating. I was so nervous doing that. And honestly, guys, I really do hope that this episode was helpful. For me, I just thought it would be nice to open up and be vulnerable. Yes, of course, about my career journey. So you understand, I promise that I'm qualified. I'm not lying to you. But also so you can understand that I'm a human too, and that I have not always had it all figured out. And sometimes I still don't. And I think Instagram and these podcasts and social media makes it so easy to look at people and think, oh yeah, like they've got it all together. They're so put together. And we're not. We're all just people figuring it out every single day together. And I don't ever want to be the podcast host or the person on your social media feed that makes you feel like you should have it together or that you need to be perfect. I don't ever want to feed into any insecurity or perception that things need to be perfect, because I'm also just figuring it out. Anyways, this was a bit of a tangent ramble episode. I hope it was helpful. If you liked it, let me know. If you didn't, let me know, but can you be nice about it? Because this was hard. Thank you. If you found this or any other episode of The Straight Shooter Recruiter helpful at any point in time, even for a millisecond, please, please, please leave a rating, leave a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, wherever you listen. It really helps to grow the show and it genuinely means the world to me. So thank you guys so much. Don't forget to head over to my Instagram so we can connect and chit chat a little bit more at emily.the.recruiter, and I will talk to you next week.
Here in Key West, we were out before it was in. In this open and inclusive paradise, you can be yourself, make new friends, and savor our live and let live vibe. With LGBTQ+ friendly accommodations, our legendary nightlife, and year-round activities and events, it's always a good time to come as you are. Key West, close to perfect, far from normal.
Ah, the sizzle of McDonald's sausage. It's enough to make you crave your favorite breakfasts. Enough to head over to McDonald's. Enough to make you really wish this commercial were scratch and sniff.
And if you're a sausage person, now get two satisfyingly savory sausage McGriddles, sausage biscuits, or sausage burritos for just $3.33. Or mix and match. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.